Saturday morning, how are you doing? It is Trina Mara here and it is something for the weekend. It has been the weirdest year ever for people working in television because it's really hard to make a telly show, and Roisin Murphy is here talking about the brand new series of her show Home Rescue. Morning Roisin, how are you?
Morning Trina, how are you?
Well, how did it happen? How did you actually manage to make a telly show?
Okay. First of all, it was extremely touch and go. We were kind of going, how are we going to comply? But technically speaking, it is a construction site. And anybody who watches the show will know we're always knocking walls down, or trying to get the walls knocked down. And we're outside. So most of all of the decluttering, everything like that was taken out and done literally outside in the rain if necessary, which was really tough on all the team. And it was just freezing, the houses, and the, we kept all of the clients were out of the houses. We demisted as well, which is a kind of a system where you go in and spray down the entire contents of the house with disinfectant.
Gosh.
So it was tough. It was cold. The conditions were cold, and we were all masked up.
Yeah.
All within, and working within 2 meters. Now, it did change some of the rooms we did as a result. So, and the distances we travelled. So at one point, I don't know if you watched last week or the week before, we were doing a kitchen and Peter was going mad at me.
That never happens.
But it was a really tough room to do, and we were moving water, but we'd kind of no choice because in order to have it compliant with COVID, they were the only two rooms we could work in the house so that people could safely, you could have one man painting in one room. Do you know what I mean?
God, so it's so difficult, isn't it?
It was difficult, but it was so worth it. It was, you know, you feel that with COVID turning up on people's doorsteps, it was like you'd arrive with water in a desert. It was so pleased to see people. Do you know what I mean?
I know. And was there talk at any point of just not doing the show?
Always. And we had to go back, and Copa, the production company in RTE, you know, there was lots of productions were cancelled this year, lots of films, as you know, because we couldn't comply. So yeah, there was talk of it.
And there's been nothing on the telly as a result of so many things being cancelled. So delighted to have something to watch.
Yeah, I think there's that. And I think the thing of people being in their homes, where you're watching homes, but, and in a way you're kind of going, Jesus, Maura, we could knock the wall down.
I know.
That's, as opposed to the big Berry, Sunset, all of those home programs seem to do really well. You know, Dermot, everybody. Mm. But I think for us, our kind of secret talent is the fact that they're everybody's home. It's not like you're not putting a very expensive, you work within the parameters of everybody's house.
And the fact that IKEA sponsor, and then IKEA were shut for a while as well. How did you get through all that? They were doing deliveries though, weren't they?
It was tough. IKEA was tough because production lines stopped there, obviously, with COVID in Europe. And so we would, when they opened back up, they were themselves, even the Irish branch, would be competing for pieces in their international markets. Mm. I'd look online and say, I'd really like to use this. And they'd say, we can't get it. Or we can't get it within the time. So they had a tough time, but we have a really good team in IKEA. Marie, a girl who's been working there with me, and Lauren and Keith, is the two people who worked on the series for 4 years. So they are really good at it, and they work as hard as anybody on the team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, but they would pull out the stuff. But at one point we were asking for parasols to do a garden room, and it was cold. And you can see they were kind of going, you're stretching yourself here now. What are you
asking? You love that, though. You love just to throw out a mad request just to see what happens, I think, Roisin.
But there's part of me that goes, I know they think it's a mad request. There is part of me that goes, I think that I have a look of devilment.
You do, like.
I look like I'm... And when I was a kid in school, I would be generally, if there was trouble, I was hauled out of the class and sent to the principal.
Just because of your face.
I think it's the curl, because of my face and my curly hair and my look. And I'm always laughing. I don't do the whole serious, you know, I can be quite skittish. So, but I never would get them to do something for the sake of it because then they won't trust you. But we got two trolleys, for instance, for one of the series, because I had a gap that I wanted two trolleys to go into. But I could see some of the team going, you know, you have two trolleys on a list, as much as say, you've made a mistake. And I go, no, I know I have two trolleys. But I think then they saw it on the TV. They were so thrilled because otherwise you're getting them to get stuff. for no reason.
When it comes to this decluttering, I think as a nation, Ireland have really decluttered during this lockdown. They couldn't actually spend that amount of time in their homes and look at this stuff without doing something about it.
Oh, absolutely. You're going out of your mind trying to find a place to work. Mm. I mean, you know, people were setting up schools here. I mean, I think we did have to ask people not to declutter before we came. That's how much the decluttering bug
really
got set in.
The house was done for you.
We would say, you tidied since we've been. And they'd go, no, just a little bit. People, I think, found it really hard. You're in your house. You're trapped in your home. So, yeah, I think there's definitely everybody got the bug this summer. Did you do a training?
Oh, I absolutely did it. And I've made a real dent. And I think I've been talking to you years about this, about the state that my house is becoming. I think the skip companies did particularly well during this whole period. The only thing is, I've all the bags for the charity shops and none of them are open. So they just have to wait until they open again.
They do. Now, I have to say, I have my bag is going to inner city homeless. The homeless hub.
Yeah.
So I think there are charities who the homeless people are in dire need. So there are, for anybody who has them, try and Google it, because I'm giving one this week now. I have a bag that I've carried around. I know the charity shops aren't taking, but I think there are some charities that are still open to take.
Okay, some will take them.
Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah. I need to get rid of couches and everything. I have everything to go, Roisin.
Have you gone Bring Centre? Have you discovered the Bring Centre?
I'm a regular in the Bring Centre. They know me by name.
I love the Bring Centre.
I'm up and down like a yo-yo. Do you find, though, that, you know, when you go in and the whole point is kind of to go in and declutter people's homes before you can even start. Do you find that some people do that? They clean before you get there because they're morto.
Yes. They're more so. And then some people, we'd one fella who, oh, there's one fella in the series, so I'll shout out, he's coming up in the week after next, and he brought stuff in, so we'd come to the house. He just kept thinking he needed more and more.
No way.
And he was a whore. Yeah, so that was very funny. And I was saying, we went through all his clutter, and I was doing a piece of camera where I'm going, and the girls who helped me and the team of declutters who helped, Alwyn, Kim and Adam. And
oh, lovely Alwyn, my pal.
Yeah, well, they were all laughing. Now, it was the best. I've never gotten anything across with Alwyn before. She's so good with the people when we're working on the shoot. And she said, now, this is really sentimental watching. And there were records. And I was going, and I was 5 minutes into the interview, it appeared that Martin had never listened to them. This fella had never even, he had literally picked them up from a skip and put them in his house. They were of no meaningful value.
They're not so sentimental to him, no.
No. Nothing. So she was, it was very funny. Well, you had to be there. But anyway, it was funny from myself.
Speaking of records, Roisin, I have a one of the things I haven't got rid of, I have a load of records there as well that would have been my mum's and all back in the day, the Beatles and everything. Now, they're obviously ones that you wouldn't be chucking away, would you?
No, they're very valuable.
Oh!
I have a thing about vinyl. I am a vinyl receiver, if you know what I mean. If somebody wants
£5,000, you can buy it right now, Roisin.
No, not for money. If you have a problem with your vinyl, I'm like, you know, I just think vinyl is, you know, it's historic. The material is lovely. You know, I just think that there's some, now some records get rid of you don't like, but like I have, say, a U2 Boy album, I have, you know what I mean? The albums that your kids are, and all of your kids look at you and go, did you listen to these guys?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there is that. But that said, and they make, the quality of sound from vinyl is extraordinary in comparison to, you know.
Yeah, no, I'll hang on to them. I won't get rid of them because I've gotten rid
of...
You see, my problem always was you felt like you were getting rid of stuff that wasn't necessarily needed but was kind of valuable. And you kind of felt, oh God, that's an awful waste. But then again,
see, when I was
if it's cluttering up your home... It's not great.
No, but I think if you find value in something, you hang on to it. Because in a way, I think for me, the biggest issues of clutter really are the clothing. Women in particular, we go through 3 or 4 sizes in a lifetime.
Or in a month when it comes to me.
Or a month. No, but it's true though. And so you come and women won't want to, they'll have clothes and they'll have clothes with labels on that they've never even worn. So that's, and electric wires and phones. So I think keep the valuable stuff, right? But go through the stuff like, you know, and paperwork. Somebody always has one weakness. My weakness would be art supplies and paper. And bits of drawings from children, you know, that they'll never see the light of day.
Yeah.
And socks, my kids' socks. Who knew? Anybody would want to keep socks? I have kept children's ankle socks.
Do you know what? I actually binned, I think it was one big black bag full of socks the other week, and that went to the Bring Centre actually as well. I actually couldn't be bothered to pair them all because I knew most of them were missing the match anyway, and there was plenty of socks in the drawer. So it's like, how many pairs of socks does one person need?
I don't know, and I don't know why socks go and you can buy pink ones and say they're pink ones. I will know where they are. I'll be able to spot them. Mm. No problem. I don't know why they go walkabout. Why socks need to separate? They are on. My pet hate is socks, and I can only find the socks with a hole in it.
Yeah,
when I put it on,
I know.
And then I rob other people's in the house socks. I'm with you on that. And they're the worst. Remember the invisible ankle socks?
That they don't even stay on your foot. Yeah,
yeah. They should have been barred. They should not have been allowed to happen.
I know.
They're like the masks. The masks. The disposable mask.
Mm.
They're the new thing that has decided to come into my. I've started to wash them.
You wash the disposable.
I'm now gone because I can't stand seeing them littered everywhere. I'm trying to see how long one will last.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're the new litter, aren't they? They're everywhere, all over the streets and everything.
They are the new litter. Yeah. It's really strange looking, and nobody can pick anything up anymore because of COVID. So it's not like you can kind of go, but it is. They're my pet hate at the moment. My pet peeve is the mask all over.
Do you think, Roisin, the problem is with a lot of people, they go and they get their storage first without doing the declutter, and they end up with just drawers and drawers full of clutter instead of getting rid of the stuff first?
I totally agree. That's one of our mottos on the show is less storage, more design.
Yeah.
So you design your room first, and think about what you want it to feel like. And then, don't ever buy stuff to store your rubbish in, basically.
I hate to see bedrooms that are full of those plastic drawers, and they don't match anything. Them. They're everywhere. Yeah. And they're full of junk.
It is one of our big things is to try and design rooms where you can't see the wardrobe. So it's just a bed. Like, the bedroom is a really important place to declutter, actually. Apparently, the most important room in the house to declutter for your psychological well-being. So if you think about that it's not a place to store clothing. So that's where I start off with in a bedroom mentally. So if you can imagine it as a room with just a bed and nicely made, and where you touch your feet in the morning, hopefully not on the socks, and that you can even, I've done a bit of research that you really only need about a meter and a half of hanging storage for an entire year's clothing to be worn a different outfit every day. We just buy too much clothes.
I think maybe the fact the shops have been closed, though, maybe we've gotten into a slightly different mindset now. We won't buy as much as we used to. Well, I mean, I haven't obviously bought, I don't think I bought any clothes this year. That's very unlike me.
And I have to say, I'm buying more stuff online, but I'm buying differently online. Do you know what I mean? I'm kind of like, I'm being more particular about what I might actually spend a little bit more on something I really like than just go into shop and buy something for a couple of quid on the way home. That kind of random fast fashion thing. And I know some of my kids even, and we still buy loads and loads of shoes. I think whatever happened to shoes that they, well, I have a skateboarder in our house, so he goes through the shoes very quickly. He sands them down. He doesn't wear them down. He sands them down. But I think it's that thing that you're hitting the nail on the head. Like, I think it's people are going to buy less. And what do you wear to work in your living room?
I know. Well, you should see me right now, Roisin. I'm an absolute holy show.
Are you wearing slippers?
No, I'm wearing runners. I'm wearing a pair of jeans and runners. My hair is not washed yet. I'll do that in a while. But yeah, no, I wouldn't be going out in public. Like, I mean, it's a bit embarrassing even seeing the postman, you know?
Have you got a good office chair now, or are you on the kitchen chair?
Right. So here we go. I've got two areas in the house. Monday to Friday, I'm at the desk on the kitchen table. But I've been saying for the last 4 months, that computer is moving up to the spare bedroom. Now, I got my IKEA desk. I got a really tiny IKEA desk, actually, when they were open. And the plan was that very day to move the computer up. That has not happened yet. And I'm sick to death of working at the kitchen table, because every time you want to have a meal, you have to clear all your paperwork and everything. Then, when it comes to doing the radio show, I have an attic. I have the man cave in the attic. So I have an actual proper studio area in the attic. So that's good. But I do need to move now the kitchen computer upstairs.
But do you have a proper stair?
A proper stairs?
Chair.
I do, yeah. Proper chair, yeah.
Good, a proper office chair.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't hurt your back. I work on the kitchen table, though.
The other thing I found working at the kitchen table, God, I'm eating nonstop because the kitchen is too accessible. All the food is right there.
Yes, I've gotten into coffee as a result. I'm like a barista. I'm obsessive about coffee. And I grind my own beans now.
Oh,
I'm like going into, I'm Bewley's Mark II back in the house. No, and I've gotten this thing now where I have about four or five brands of coffee that we go out and buy. It's like that's my thing to kind of make me sane about working from home, I think. The actual coffee thing has become a meal. But yeah, no, my house is really untidy as a result. After the series, I before lockdown, I had somebody I committed to getting. Kay would come in who cleans the house, and she comes in when I'm working once a week because otherwise the house becomes.
It's worth it, isn't it? Totally worth it.
It is. Yes.
When it comes to doing the declutter, though, Roisin, for anyone who's listening, right, what room would you start off in?
Oh, I do bedroom first, always.
That's, and finish it before you move on to the next one, because there's nothing worse than having all the stuff on the bed and then you're knackered that night and you can't get into your bed.
You take all of the stuff out of the room. And I do this with the kids now. And initially there was war when I did it, but now they ask me to do it. They were sort of, can you do what you did to Kizzy's room? Can you do it to my room? So I get their stuff and bring it all down to the living room, empty their room, and then put bags out. I learned this from the RD Clutterers, that you put bags out and say, keep, go, charity. So what's not fit for, because lots of stuff isn't fit for charity, particularly if you're a skateboarder or somebody at home, because their shoes have holes in it. So you, and then you, it never goes back into the room. You find most people walk into a room and go, this is so lovely not to have loads of clutter. They'll take back hardly anything. That's the big trick.
So bedroom first, and then what next?
Kitchen for me. I not declutter, but say, you know, the under the stairs bit?
Yeah.
You have an under the stairs
and it's
room cupboard.
I have an under the stairs small bit, and it's a nightmare every time you want to get the Hoover out.
Yes.
It's a struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the second one, because I think that's from my feng shui days, that apparently those places, they really need to be cleared out regularly. They're at the back. They're like your subconscious nag where you're going, don't have the bun or whatever it is. It is like clear out the broom cupboard. And it's a tiny thing, but it usually. Because you don't have to do it neatly. You fire everything. I throw everything into that space. I don't know about you, Trina, but everything gets fired in. And then I kind of press the door shut with my foot, very simply.
Yeah.
So that's the next one, I would say. And then a bathroom is lovely to do because it's fun to do. And you just get a big basket and you can kind of put loads of empty. There's loads of clutter there of shampoo bottles that you don't have the big moral dilemma about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's fun to do your bathroom, and you know, you wrap towels and you clean. So a bathroom is always good. And then the big ones and the hard ones to do, I would say the kitchen is really, really hard to do because you take the cutlery drawers out, and the fridge, I would know it sounds funny, but I would say decluttering the fridge is also a day job, you know, unplugging it, cleaning it out, taking all the drawers out. So that's how I go. I go not so much room by room, but the things that are generally kind of need to be done. And then afterwards, your bedroom first, under the stairs, the kitchen, particularly fridges, ovens, and take them as a day at a time, you know. And then I would say the living room's the last one. Because the living rooms are kind of, you know, we're still front room people. We're still come in, sit down, have a cup of tea, and the living room is never as bad as your average bedroom.
Have you seen that home edit thing on Netflix?
I watched one episode.
Aren't they head wreckers?
I thought I was really looking forward to this, and then I didn't enjoy it. And now that's because it's that thing of, I know, here, you won Sylvia, she's not going to know where to put her clueless dress. I don't think so.
They're mad into buying containers for everything. These clear containers for your kitchen. You have to put your cereal in a container, and everything has to be in a container. And I kind of thought, what's the point of that? How will you know the date that the things have gone off? So it's kind of pointless.
I also think it's that thing where if you're buying stuff, I was a big fan of Marie Kondo once she started selling boxes. And then I thought, don't sell people more clutter.
Yeah, it's more clutter. Yeah.
it's more clutter and more purchasing. Like, it is about organization. And I asked the girls and the fellas, the declutterers, and they were all going, how did they rate it? And they weren't into it either. So yeah. when I know when the team are saying it's not great, well, I was going, okay, I'm not on my own here.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I think those containers are like 20 quid each or something. And you need about 5,000 of them. So
yeah,
good luck.
Yeah. Good luck with that, no. Absolutely not. And if you have, yeah, absolutely not.
And the two on it are head wreckers as well.
Okay, I would agree with you on that too. I was, and I watch everything. I mean, I watch all of the new BBC design series, and I watched all of the Sunset Strip one, all of them. And that one, I just couldn't engage with it. I don't know what it was. It just wasn't accessible at any level.
They were going into homes as well that were already perfectly organised, and these people were saying they were in dire straits, and you're like, okay, like,
yeah, no,
your
not.
Storage, your kitchen pantry area is the size of my house, so there's no problem there.
Yeah, it was depressing. It's like going, I would really love your problem. I would just
come
love
here.
It.
Are you still loving Peter Finn with all your heart?
Oh, I love it. Peter Finn and I are great mates. But we do go and we do. He is as bad as I am in the sense that I'm very like extreme in what I want to achieve, right?
Yeah.
And then he says to me, that's no problem. I never say to him, I'm going to do this. That's the other. Now, I might add in a few bits and pieces along the way. But generally speaking, he's like, yeah, we'll do all of that. And then he likes a very good finish. So he does not do any half measures. There's no kind of, I'm going to stick a bit of water. We very rarely have ever had to go back and snag a project we've done. That's how good a finish the builders get. And that's unusual in a makeover series because I've worked on a few of them. But halfway through it, he's killing me. But I know he at the end of the day, every single time he comes back and goes, you were right. It's not before he kills me. So I run for cover, duck and cover. And there was one episode that I remember thinking he had to drive down the road before he cooled off with me. But I know underneath the door he wouldn't have anybody else because he knows I put a few tricks up my sleeve that make, like, we're both as good as each other and extreme. And you need that. Otherwise, you wouldn't get what we've done in 3 days. It would be impossible.
No, there's great chemistry, I think, between the two of you. And the thing is, Peter isn't just on the telly doing this. He is a builder.
No.
That's what he does day to day. I'd say because of him being so well known now on the telly, you probably can't get him for love nor money to come and do an extension on your house. He's probably booked out till the end of time.
That fella's doing his hair and nails. I'm telling you now. Doing his hair and nails down in the gym. Body beautiful, I'm joking. Yeah, I've never got him. He's never come around to my gaff. I put it like that. He is really busy and he does really big work. I met him on a house I was designing. My first experience with Peter was on a house we did in Booterstown many, many years ago when he was a young fella and I came in and I remember thinking it was a very sort of, they had a very efficient site and no children were allowed, which was difficult. And I never forgot him because it was a tricky project. We were excavating out, we were doing a lot of engineering work. And so we went for the first meeting up in IKEA. I said to him, I know you. And he said, he thought I knew from the Dermot show. And I said, no, you worked on Booterstown. And I knew when I met him that day that we could do great stuff because he was a great builder.
How do they pick the guys to do these kind of shows, like the builders?
Well, he worked Treasure Island first. He was on one of these series with Coco before. And then he went on to Dermot's show. And then he was deemed as a good, appropriate builder for us. And then we naturally got on. He and I, we both knew we got on really well, if you know what I mean. Like, you work with somebody, as you were aware, like, there's times you work with somebody and you go, this is, like, it's not the ordinary chemistry that people talk about.
Yeah.
Where, there's definitely, I'd say, a working chemistry between myself and Peter that is there. Like, in terms of when I'm saying we're going to put a piece here, and he knows exactly when I say we'll knock this wall down, he knows what I mean. Mm. I don't have to go into too much detail, and he knows what I'm trying to achieve. So that kind of chemistry is unusual, I think.
Yeah,
so I think we're lucky with that. But also, they did, for my part, I think there was 18 people auditioned first. So
way, really?
I think they were. Yeah. I didn't screen test it yet. It was a short list of 18, and then I got it.
You see, some people are very good, aren't they? Like, they're very good at their day job, but it just doesn't translate to the telly.
Well, I think, you know, the reason they tell me I got it, because I didn't really understand. I was thrilled to get it, but they said it was because which I think is one of the nicest compliments I've ever got, is that I empathise with people who are overwhelmed by their homes.
Yeah.
So I didn't come in as the professional going, oh my God. I'm sure the other candidates empathise, but I'd say that with the fact that I'm an architect as well, as I'm not just an interior designer. So I don't know, or else they were just really desperate. But I was so thrilled. I don't know which it was. They could have said anything to get me to, but I was absolutely chuffed, I have to say.
That's brilliant.
Thrilled.
Well, a long time in now. How many years are you doing this series now?
4 years.
Wow.
And so we have done, how many homes is that? That is 24 homes and about 48 rooms, I suppose.
Would you ever do a check back and see, or have the people kind of kept their homes as you left them?
Yes, we are still in contact. Like, you see, you do change people's lives. Like, I have to say, the programme has really impacted people, and usually, well, it's very positive. So they keep in contact with us, and they will update us about, you know, whether they've had babies. Mm. We've had a few babies. We've had people get ill as well, and talk to them about that. But they will send you updates, and they usually go further with the rooms. They usually keep going,
yeah.
And they knock down walls. Like, so it's a kind of, you make friends.
Yeah.
Like,
they stand out though, don't they? I still remember the one that you did, the girl in Leek Slip, and she had a load of kids, and I think she married a fella from the same road, and her house was just bursting with stuff, wasn't it?
Oh, she had a very sick baby who woke in the middle of the night to be resuscitated every night. That was a horrific. Her life was, she'd gone from being kind of nail technician in Brown Thomas, she ran some cosmetic section, to being at home and basically on 24/7 for one of her kids. So they never even unpacked the house. They've gone from strength to strength, and she's back working and all that sort of stuff. But that was really horrific.
Yeah.
Like, and she was so, what I would say, serene, if you can imagine it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she now, I went to visit her one day with nobody, just to see how her kitchen worked, and it was chaos. It was bedlam. And I remember thinking, I just have to make it so she, as any mom who has kids, so that you can hold a child, boil a kettle, you know, all of those things. But she was such a serene person. Vivian was her name.
Yeah.
She was so, like, elegant under trauma, you know what I mean?
It's like, the swan and going mad under the water.
That.
Yeah. How do people get picked? Is there a criteria to get picked? I know a sob story always works well on the telly, but is there a criteria?
Well, you have to have a good backstory.
You have to have
a house that complies with COVID now, which is a new thing. So we have to have a place. This year we had to have places where you could put a tent up, believe it or not, in front of us, because nobody could work indoors. And you had to have distance, so you could put two tents up. So they were the basic COVID criteria. And then usually that you're kind of, you can talk as well. Well, you don't even have to be able to talk. I just think that, you know, I suppose a story really.
I guess it's more that they actually want you there. They're open to having you there. Do you know the way some people might say, well, now I don't want to change that, and I don't want to change that, and don't touch that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it makes life difficult for you as a designer.
Yeah. I've only had one situation where we had one person give me a list of what she liked and she didn't like. And that was hilarious because she was a modernist, you know what I mean? And she liked white. And she's probably right to tell me I like white because I'm very fond of colour. It's probably the last makeover in this series, and she got a phenomenal makeover. But it was really kind of like, you're going to give me a list, I'm going to give you a makeover. It was brilliant. Yeah. And brilliant balls as well.
Are people scared then of the end result? Because remember the 90s
terrifying
telly show? What was that 90s telly show on? Was it on BBC?
Changing Rooms.
And normally, and there was one time that the woman started crying, because she hated it.
they are.
And then the other woman, didn't they knock down a shelf of really antique china or something?
Yeah. All of that happened. And last, anybody who wants to see on the player, the swords woman was petrified because, you see, we'd come to do her bedroom, but because of COVID, we couldn't do it to comply. So we said we either don't do it or we do the kitchen and the conservatory, because we were always going to do the conservatory.
Yeah.
But she was petrified because she loved her kitchen. So she was going, why are you doing my kitchen? And I was kind of replanning the kitchen to make it more efficient. It was turning a good kitchen into a super bomb kitchen.
Yeah.
But she was close to tears of, I think, and worry. And then she just was so loved it. Because part of my job is to really get the people to match their interiors to them, you know, to get into the underneath the skin part of them, you know.
And you're loving it, watching them squirm until the final reveal.
No, I wish. I went upstairs sometimes to cry, going, what if I've gotten it wrong? For fear that I've given them back a room. I have to say I have cried in relief. I don't relish ever getting that wrong, because that's people's homes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they trust you. They're there. They see sledgehammers, cans. I wish I was more like, but I'm not. Except when I really know I've nailed it.
Yeah.
And then I go, I don't care if they don't like it, because it's so fantastic. But generally, if I'm taking risks, there was a phrase we used at the beginning of this series, and when it was called Desperate Houses, which was no risk, no reward. And on day two, I'm full of bravery. I'm like, oh, knock that wall down, take that orange. But by day three, I am back to the kind of mousy housewife going, oh, I really shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? It's all Bridget Jones extremes, you know?
Yeah.
And the team, I have a great painter, Brendan, who works in the series, and he goes, even when he hates it, he goes, never double back. Whenever you double back, you're aggressive, Oshin. So he'll encourage me, you know what I mean? And the producer, Jane, who works on it, she always goes, I don't care, Oshin, it'll make great telly. But she's always encouraging me, you know, she never kind of goes. The only occasionally she'll pull back on the amount of work I do. And go, too much. You're asking the lads to do too much. And then I pull back.
So Home Rescue, back on telly. What night can we watch it? What time, what channel? And tell me all the details.
RTE1, 7 o'clock. And that's it.
And it's
on the player. Home Rescue, yeah.
Lovely. Thanks so much, Roisin. We'll chat soon.
Oh, Trina, you're more than welcome. And hopefully talk to you again next year.
Yeah, that's it. Or if something else in between, maybe even. You never know.
Oh, anytime. Lovely talking to you. And good luck under the stairs. You've reminded me to do mine. I'll see you next year. Send me photos.
If you don't hear from me in the next few months, you know that I'm crumbling underneath a Hoover. It's all collapsed on top of me. Thanks, Roisin. See you soon.
Okay, see you.
Bye. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.